I love God throughout.
I don't have bad people. I am good people.
Jumbo, everyone. Welcome to Osiliki Farm, the farm of hope, where we work as AfriLift in partnership with the local church, the Kenya Assemblies of God, to offer hope to the boys who did not have a lot of hope in their life before the farm. Most boys come from the slum area or from the streets, or some of them from youth prison, whom we work with in partnership. And life can be pretty hard there. It's often a shack shared with a mom and many siblings. Fathers are often not around. Most of the times they don't have good role models. Some of them have been chased away from school because of lack of school fees or behavioral issues. And that's how they end up on the streets. They start begging, they end up stealing. Some of them join gangs. And that's how they get in trouble with themselves and with their environment. Most of the boys come from our own project in Kibera, at the edge of the slum where we meet them, and where the boys can gain points by timekeeping, good behavior, etc. And those points actually earn them a place on the farm, so that it also depends on their own effort. And other boys come from the youth prison, in which we have a partnership. Some of the boys have finished their sentence, but they cannot go back home because maybe they are from the streets, or the type of crime they committed, it's not so good for them to go back to the same place where they came from. But a judge can also decide that a boy can come to us on diversion program instead of a prison sentence.
So this is my department where I'm doing work. Yeah, as you see here, we have grow up pigs. This is my favorite animal. Here I am, in a Osiliki farm where I started my life, a new life. When I was 12 years old, I came to Nairobi. And it was not my fault, because I don't like about that, but without parents, without any person. For me to come here, I feel like I'm comfortable, because I have make it already. I have tried my best. I was not perfect. I was not good. I always have my struggles, but I overcome it and cool it down until now. So when you see me here, I am a long story, actually.
The farm making me feel good, because I will be busy to do my work. I cannot do bad things. When I support be here, the first day, I feel like I am home.
Farming life is good and it's fair for everyone. We normally get education. You see, if a boy can come here on Osiliki, he doesn't go to school, he don't know English, he will be going to classes, he will be teaching to be talking English. Actually, me, I have did exam here. Farm, we learn everything, even life skills. Not only farming, because if you don't have life skill, you can't stay with people.
The reason we chose farming is because Kenya has two strengths in its economy. One is tourism, second is farming. And we found that in tourism it would be too complicated for boys to learn, and they'd be competing with university graduates. Where in farming, in 2 years we can give a good basic knowledge on horticulture, and all our boys can get jobs. And we've proven that with 100% of our graduates getting jobs.
So when the boys just come, they're often still in survival mode, like you get what you can get, and you might even hide it under your mattress. And in level one, also when you ask the boys, like, what do you want to do in the future? They often just say, I want to get rich, and they think that will solve all their issues. But once those basic needs have been met, like shelter, food, etc. Now they have space to actually think about higher goals in terms of relationships to the outer world, to other people, to the boys, to the staff, and also their relationship with God.
We praise you. We sing your name because
my life before is so bad. Now my life now is good because I am not using drugs. I am not be someone bad. I am good with good people. Yeah. I go to devotion. I do many things for me. I see.
I have seen some changes in my life, not only my life, in myself, because the years before I was a drug abuse. But now I don't feel like the drug can help me.
Well, it's not always easy. And some of the boys struggle, they face challenges, but the thing is, when they hang on to God and to hope, Oseligi, hope, and they actually make it till the end, and then they get jobs with farmers and they know God, then it was all worth it.
I believe only in God. I believe only in God. I believe only in God.
Well, I'm glad I could take you to my world for a little bit. This church has been faithful. From the time you began, you've supported us and our work in changing street kids' lives. And God bless you for that. The colleague on screen is a Dutch lady we work with, the CEO of AfriLift. And we had her here for a couple of weeks. She met your leadership, but unfortunately she couldn't stay. She's got teenage kids to take care of, and so she had to run away. But Margaret and I are here today, and tonight we're on a plane back to Kenya again. But it's great to be in a church that has a heart for souls, because it is only Jesus that can bring change. Those boys, their lives have just been kicked in the teeth all their life. Circumstances have just been horrible to them, but when they can grasp Jesus, they can bring transformation. But you know, life's a bit easier in New Zealand, but life still kicks us in the teeth. But you know what? With Jesus, we can come through. I want to share from 2 Kings, chapter 7. 2 Kings, chapter 7, reading from verse 1. Elisha replied, "Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seah, or 5.5 liters of fine flour, will sell for a shekel, and 2 seah of barley for a shekel at the gates of Samaria." Now, what is going on here? Okay, the prophet is saying the famine is over. The children of Israel had turned their back on God, so God turned their back on them. The Arians, the enemy, came and attacked the city. And they were specialists in sieges. They would surround the city, and then nobody could go in or out. No water, no food could go in or out. And they would just wait for them to die and surrender. So what happened? A donkey head was selling for about $10,000. A donkey head. Okay, I'm just trying to put it in our terms.
I've never eaten a donkey, although I see them around. Zebra, they taste quite good, but hey, they have beautiful steaks. But donkeys, their meat would be like leather. Can you imagine? They got so bad that people were eating each other. Can you imagine how bad a siege would be and how much the starvation when they go eating each other? And then the king gets upset with the prophet, not upset with himself and the sins that he's been leading his people into. He gets upset with the prophet, and the prophet says, King, tomorrow this famine is over. We're going to be buying food at bargain prices. Tomorrow this is over. Then we go on to verse 3. Now there were four men, leprous, at the entrance of the city gates. And they said to each other, why stay here until we die? Why stay here till we die? If we stay here, we go into the city, the famine is there, and we will die. If we stay here, we will die. So let's go to the Amorites and surrender, and if they spare us, we will live, and if they kill us, we will die. Okay? They were with the situation. Everybody in the city was dying. So if we stay here, we're going to die like everybody else. So why don't we go to the enemy, surrender, plead for mercy? God chooses four lepers at dusk, verse 5. They got up and went to the camp of the Amorites. When they had reached the edge of the camp, no one was there, for the Lord had caused the Aryan army to hear the sounds of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired Hittites and the Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and fled in the dust and abandoned their tents, their horses, and their donkeys. And they left the camp and they ran for their lives. The men who were leprous reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents, and ate and drank. And they took silver and gold and clothing and went off and hid them. Then they returned and entered another tent, and some of the things from there they also hid. Then they said to each other, what we're doing is not right. This is the day of good news, and we keep it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let us go and report to the royal palace. So, the famine was severe. The lepers go, and as they were walking down that desert path, their sandals were hitting that dusty track, and the angels began to play. This is Robin's interpretation now. Somehow, the angels of that day got the soundtrack of Star Wars or something like this. And, you know, you techies, you like to play, okay? And we've got angels like that. They started to amplify the sound of sandals in the dust. And there became sonic booms. And the rocks began to shake. And the ground began to shake just from the sandals of beggars walking in the dust. And the army, the enemy that was surrounding them, the 100,000 or more soldiers, when the ground began to shake and the rocks and the echoes, they ran for their lives. That is our God. taking the power of sandals of lepers walking in the dust and shaking the world. What does God use to change the world? Four lepers. And you know what? God uses strange circumstances to change the world. Do you want your world changed? One idea from the Holy Ghost can transform your life and can transform your financial situation. There are people here today that are facing challenges financially. They talked about, the financial advisors of New Zealand talked about survive 24, and what was it in 25? Thrive in 25. They did not realize, the financial advisors of New Zealand, they were prophesying spiritually we will thrive in 25, but we have not thrived financially. But let me tell you, one idea from the Holy Ghost can transform our situation. I remember when I was building the children's centre in Kibera, in the slum, we built an outreach centre, and it was a little bigger than this hall, but not a lot, and then down one side was classrooms. And I got to, we'd done the concrete floor, we'd done the walls, but we only got up to, well, the walls are about as high as your windows. We got up to there, and we ran out of money. And I was, like most Christians, we pray, Lord, you promise when we tithe, you will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. And I was reminding God of his promises. But the trouble is, my money was getting less and less and less. And then it got to the point where the car tires were as bald as my head. And I decided, we better stop. I told the builders, we're stopping at the end of today. I was in the office that morning, and I was talking to Margaret, and I said, what a pity we have to stop this building. And Margaret says, yes, I know, but God always does a miracle for us. I had a telephone call a couple of hours after that. Took the call, and they said, Robin, this is the New Zealand High Commission from South Africa. Now, I'm in Kenya. We have four countries. It's about 4,000 kilometers away, South Africa is. But that's the only place we had an embassy at that time, New Zealand. They said, this is a New Zealand High Commission from South Africa. We know you're working with needy children. Do you need any money? And I told them about the project, what I was doing to help underprivileged kids. And they said, yes, that fits our criteria. And they said, now you have to understand, this is the end of our financial year. If we do not give the money away this week, we have to report to Wellington that we have done a bad job. So, anyhow, they said, yes, it meets the criteria. I said, look, can you give me till tomorrow morning? I'll work out what it'll cost to finish it. Yes, but please remember, we need to know by tomorrow morning. So, anyhow, my telephone call finished, and I started working, thinking about, and so I worked out what it would cost to finish the building. And then I thought to myself. Now, this is the government begging to give me. What else can I do? And I thought, well, first stage wasn't to bring electricity on site, because we had to bring the electricity a couple of hundred meters, and we had to put in power poles and this and that, and it was going to be expensive. So I called up the electrician, we shot over to the slum, worked out what it would cost, added that, and then I thought, what else? The government's begging, what else? And so I thought, now, we stage one wasn't a shower and toilet block, but we were dealing with street kids and they stunk and they could do with a shower. So I worked out what it would cost to put in a shower and toilet block. And then there was a couple of other things that I asked for as well. Sent the fax off. Those were the days when we had a fax. Sent the fax off. And you know what? Within 1 week, I had everything I asked for. In one idea from the Holy Ghost can transform your circumstances. And you know what? I achieved in 1 year what I thought I could achieve in 5 years. God is the God of miracles. Impossible situations is a part of life on earth. Okay? Impossible situations is a part of life on earth. We live in a fallen world and we face terrible situations. But you know what? God is there and He's with us. He is with us. Those lepers faced an impossible situation. If we stay here, we die. If we go into the city, we die. And if we go to the enemy, we might die also. But they took the best option. There was a possibility. And then God turned up. One of the boys on our farm, we have an outreach in the slum areas. And these boys come along and they have to earn points. They earn points for attending on time, being sober, participating. And in the end, if they get enough points, they get lunch. And they build up those points and that qualifies them to go to the farm. We do not believe in free lunches. They earn their place to the farm. So this boy was in the process of earning points to go to the farm. But of course we are not supporting them, they support themselves while they're in the slum. And most of them, they are gifted at removing mobile phones from people's pockets, stealing ladies' handbags and such. Now this one boy, he had got a mobile phone and took off, but the crowd in the slum got him. Now, in the slum, they do not like thieves because they are struggling, and when a thief takes something, it's taken a month's wages or whatever to get that mobile phone, and so the slum dwellers deal with the thieves themselves. So this boy was caught. They put a tire around him, put it over his arm so it was up to here. Then they took a liter of kerosene and poured it over him. And then one of the crowd said, "I've got the matches, stand away." The matches wouldn't light. The guy said, "Let me go to the Duca, I'll get the matches, I'm back." And he runs about from here, like across the road. As he was running across the road in excitement, he didn't look, and a car came. When the car hit the boy, all the crowd rushed to see what happened to the guy. And here was our guy, standing with the tire around him, covered in kerosene, and he took off in the other direction. We then did express, we didn't worry about his points at that time, because we know that tomorrow they would catch him. Again, the same thing would happen. So we quickly took him to the farm. But the counselor at the farm said to him, well, what happened to the guy that got knocked by the car? He said, I was not looking around to see what happened to him. He was heading for his future. Even in strange circumstances, God is there. But you know what? God sets us up for success. Even when you're struggling, God puts us on a successful team. The lepers, four of them, they go to the camp. What did they find? Everything they needed, more than they could believe. There was food. They ate until they were almost feeling sick. They had silver, they had gold, they had clothes. They went and took all they could imagine and hid it. Then they went back for some more, and then they started to feel guilty. I remember one time when my son was about to get married. He met his sweetheart in boarding school in Kenya. His bride-to-be, her parents were missionaries in Rwanda. They went to school together, and then Stephen came back to New Zealand, and he kept having one-hour telephone calls to this young lady. Finally, he went to America, proposed, and then they started to plan the wedding. Now, in America, weddings, they have different traditions in different regions. And in this area, the bride's parents and grandparents were paying for the wedding, but they have a rehearsal dinner, okay? And so the bride and groom and the wedding party and the parents and the grandparents and stuff were there. Then they go out for dinner afterwards to a nice restaurant, and that was for Margaret and I to pay for. Now, I believe in good financial management. So we were believing God, and we slowly saved up, and we had the money ready for this rehearsal dinner that we were to pay for. Then one of our street boys was hit by a motor vehicle. He ended up in hospital. And then the pastor's wife came after about a week and said, look, if this boy is not helped, he's going to lose his leg. There's a possibility that gangrene could set in. And in the government hospitals, they don't do very much in Kenya. So I said to the pastor's wife, I said, look, go to the mission hospital. It's where you have to pay, but they get proper treatment. Take the doctor's reports and the x-rays and find out, and then come back and report to me. So she comes back and she says, tells me the amount that it'll cost. It happened to be exactly what I had for my son's wedding. So I went into my office and I said, Lord, you know this is the only money I've got. What do I do? And before I even asked, I had a fair idea what God was going to say. So I gave the money. We helped the boy. He was operated on. His leg was, put steel plates in and this and that. And he was sorted out. That left me 3 months for the money to come in. And I was full of faith, you know. We do what God says. Yeah, I've learned in faith. We do what we can and God will do what we can't. Okay? We do what we can, and God will do what we can't. I need to check my watch that I don't talk too long. You know, in Africa, you can preach for 2 hours. So. I promise I won't do that today. So, I'm just getting my thoughts back to where I was. Yeah. Now, so we helped this boy, and we had 3 months to go until we had to leave for America. I had the air ticket paid for, but I was saying, Lord, thank you, I've obeyed you, you're going to supply. First month's income come, no extra for Robin and Margaret. Second month came, no extra for Robin and Margaret. Third month came, no extra for Robin and Margaret. So finally came time for us to leave. So we go to the airport, go to get on the plane, and the airline says, I'm sorry, we're overbooked. We can't take you today. We can take you tomorrow. Now, it meant we could still arrive on time, but we were arriving a day late. And they said, you can wait around to see if there's no shows, but we don't think there's much chance. So I was waiting around. And then I heard this American, what compensation package are you guys paying? All of a sudden, my ears pricked up. So they said, look, you have to, we'll put you in a nice hotel in Nairobi, go to the airline office tomorrow, and you'll find out about the compensation package. I'd never heard of compensation packages before, but my ears pricked up when I heard that. So the next morning, we went down to the airline office, and the compensation package was exactly what we needed for that rehearsal dinner. I tell you, we serve a God that we just can't comprehend all the ideas he has to come up with you having victory. I used to be that way, that I would get a little bit nervous, a bit annoyed when I'd face situations like this. But you know, I've faced it so many hundreds of times. When I see an impossible situation, I just say, God, what are you going to do this time? Because usually every time it's different. You know, God set me up for success. I did not know that when I got saved, the youth group was 6 young people. But God moved. We ended up 120 after a year. And, but in that group, there was one guy was a friend of mine. We went to school together. We got saved about the same time. He was a dyslexic diesel mechanic. I did not know that he would become a multi-millionaire property developer. I did not know that one of the guys in my home group was going to become the pastor of a large missions giving church. I did not know that. I look back now, you know, I'm 73, coming on 74, but I look back how God in those days set things up so that we could succeed on the mission field, so that we would have the support. I did not know that I just happened to go to an Assemblies of God church and get saved in the Assemblies of God. And what a fantastic denomination. You know, there's many great denominations, but the Assemblies of God is so faithful in their missionaries. I'm not just, this church is multiplied throughout the nation. And I did not know that God was setting me up with that. He sets us up for success. You know, in this church, we are set up for success. God's vision is for this town and this community and beyond to be reached for Jesus. He has set us up for success. Are you hearing me? You might look at we're a small congregation. Well, God wanted to change Samaria and their circumstances, and those people were crying out to God. He chose four lepers. We're a bit better off than that. You know, he has his hand upon this congregation. He has his hand upon the leadership of this congregation. He is setting us up for success. And when we succeed, it is to be shared. Those lepers, they were filling themselves till they were almost vomiting. They had eaten so much because they'd hardly eaten. You know what it's like if you've ever fasted or you've been sick and you start eating a lot. You overdo it. And those lepers all of a sudden started to feel guilty. We've got to share this. Do you know what? We're set up for success and we've got to share this. We've got a gospel that this nation needs. This nation is as desperate as the people of Samaria. Yes, we got the food. We got enough food for millions more. We sell it overseas. But this nation is going down. Morally, spiritually, and everything else. But you know what? God is lighting a bright light. 2025 is a year of prospering in the Holy Ghost. We are on and up. This nation is lifting spiritually, and we need to be aware, each one of us is ready to be used. He's setting us up for success. I want us to stand. I've been sharing about how God's done financial miracles. I want to pray for any businessman, any unemployed, anybody that is facing, you know, businessmen, the economy is not good. I don't need to tell you that. I want to pray that God will bring miracle ideas and a blessing. But Lord wants to touch anybody facing a financial hard time. If you're on a pension, it's not going far enough. If you're unemployed, you don't have enough. I want to pray, God, every person here, Father, I thank you that this church has been generous, Lord, sowing in to the persecuted church, sowing into the street kids of Nairobi. This church has been a blessing. And Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you return that blessing. Your word declares, when you give, you shall receive. And Lord, I pray for this congregation. Father, I pray for my financial returns. I pray for blessings on businesses. I pray for blessings on people and benefits, blessings on people that are struggling. Father, as they have given, Lord, I pray that you'll return. And Father, I pray there is a lot of sick people. Father, I pray that you'll return to them blessing. Father, I come against sickness and disease in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you'll just touch each and every one that needs a healing right now in Jesus' name. Lord, you're a miracle God. You can do more than we believe. These lepers, their eyes were bulging when they saw God's provision. And Lord, I pray that that'll be our portion as well. We'll be wowed by what God has done. Father God, touch each and every person that needs a healing. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.